You got to the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. We got six lines down. The words Ha'ochel Va'Shos Ein Mitzdarfen. The Mishnah told us that person eats and drinks. You cannot combine those shirim together. You can combine different types of food together. You can combine different types of drinks together, but food and drinks cannot be combined together. So the Gemara says in Man Tana, who is the author of this Mishnah that says you cannot combine food and drinks? Amar Rav Chisda b'machlokish shniya. It's really a subject debate, this discussion. And Rabbi Shua here, and Rabbi Shua is the opinion that held that you cannot combine. Where do we see that Rabbi Shua holds this way? It's not in the Mishnah in Me'ila tells us that Klal, the following rule, Amar Rabbi Shua, Kol she'tumaso v'shira shavei mitzdarif. Anything where the tumah, the way the tumah works exactly, and the size of the tumah, the shear is equal, then you can start with the two types of tumahs together. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi is shetumasa mishur and shav. What does that mean? Kigon chatzi shnei chatzai zaysim mishnei mesim. You have a chatzi zayis of two mesim. O mishnei nevelos. O shnei chatzai adashim mishnei shiratzim. Shizman tumasa and shav. Mishur and shav. That the time is the same, meaning that the I think it has to be that the amount of how strong the tumah is. Like tumah's mace lasts 7 days. When it comes to tumah sheretz, it's only 1 day. So the potency of the tumah has to be the same, and the shear, the relevant shear, has to be the same as well. When it comes, then the Gemara Misha, as quoted in the Gemara, continues tumasa velo shiru. If it has the same tumah but not the same shear, what's a tumah without the same shear? So Rashi says, yeah, these shears are much better. So if it's Rashi's Tumas of Lo Shira, what's a case where the Tumah is the same but the Shira is not the same? Kigon Sheretz of Nevela, Sheshneim Tumas Erev. If you touch a Sheretz, you touch a Nevela, it only is Tame you 1 day. However, the Shira is different. Aval Ein Shira and Shavah, says Rashi, Latame Shezebe Kazayas Vezebe Kadasha. A Nevela requires a Kazayas, and a Sheretz requires a Kadasha. That's an example of not having the same Shira. Or the Mishnah says, Shiro. The low tumasa, the same shear but different tumah. That example, Rashi says, is kigon mace from nevela shishneim because ayis. They both have the same shear. However, zet tumas shiva, zet tumas erev. The mace lasts 7 days, and the nevela only lasts 1 day. And certainly, the Mishnah says lo tumasa lo shiro. If the tumah is not the same and the shear is not the same, then certainly the halacha is aim at starfin. So Yeshua is the opinion that says eating is a shear of kosevis rather on Yom Kippur, and drinking on Yom Kippur is a shear of melol lugmav. Two different shearim, even though the tumah, if you will, in this case the iser is the same, the shear is different. Therefore, you're not mitzdarif for the two. Rav Nachman Amar, afilu tema rabbanon. Even Rabbanan could agree in our mission. Even the Rabbanan in Me'ila, apparently arguing with Yeshua, they might agree in our case of Yom Kippur that you cannot combine eating and drinking. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hasam. Rabbanan only say there that you may combine two different types of tumas. Elo inin tumah. The shame tumah chadhi. It's all tumah, whether it's nevela, whether it's tumah, whether it's sheretz. Who cares what type of tumah it is? It's all the guy is tumah. We don't say he's tumah's nevela, he's tumah's mace. We say he's tumah. So you can combine the two, even though there might be differences. Here it's about having his mind at ease, being somewhat satisfied. Not full, but he's a little bit comfortable with what he's eaten or drink. But this way, if he has a little bit of food and a little bit of drink, combining the two won't give him yisuvidaita. In the end of the day, he's not going to be satisfied. He'd much rather a little lugmov or a kosevis of food. But a little bit of a food and a little bit of drink, that's not going to accomplish yisuvidaita. And that's why here is different. Rish Lakish said similarly, our Mishnah is subject to a debate. Rabbi Shua is the author, like we said above. Ditnan klal Amar Rishua v'chulei. Yochanan responded to Reish Lakish, Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan of Maseches Me'ila could be the author of our Mishnah. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hasam elin yatuma, v'hacham mishum yisvedaita hu, v'hai lo kam yisvedaita. So the same type of back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as we had in the Gemara above. New Mishnah tells us, I think it's the second Mishnah of the Perek, right? Mishnah tells us, Achal v'shasa behelm echad einu chayv elach, chatas achas. Let's say, in one lapse of mind, he ends up eating and drinking. So, be one helam. He's chayv only one time. Yeah.
What's the difference between the last...
Only difference is that the Gemara presented it just as a discussion in Gemara, didn't mention who said what, and the last one, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, were actually the ones saying the back and forth,
right.
Rabbi Shua versus Rabbanan.
Uh-huh. Okay, but they might, but this, but
same exact discussion. Just a question: who's okay. saying the discussion? Okay. Okay. So the Mishnah says that again, al achal v'shasa behelim echad einu chayv el achas. So lacha is, let's say for example, what's helam mean? Helam means like lashem nelam, it's disappeared. Person forgot, let's say it's Shabbos. He forgot it's Shabbos, and he violated a number of different malachos on it. What's the halacha? So it depends if each malacha is considered a different category. So a person on in one helam, with forgetting a Shabbos, he cut down a branch, and he planted some seeds, and he plowed the ground, and he, whatever, name any malacha, he carried outside without an Erev. Those are all different malachas. He's chayv four different chataos. But let's say on Shabbos, he carries five different times in one helam, in one forgetting of a Shabbos. He's only chayv once because hotzah is one chatas. It's one aveir. It's all in the same category. He repeated the same thing five times in one forgetting of Shabbos. So what happens if achal v'shasa behelmach? He ate and drank on Yom Kippur, one helam. He forgot it's Yom Kippur and ate and then drank. How many are you chayv? Two or are you chayv one? The Mishnah says, "Einu echayv ela chatas achas." You only chayv one chatas. Why? So you look towards Rashi. Rashi says, "Einu echayv ela chatas achas dechad shmahu." It's one shame. It's one category. How do you categorize things? Rashi tells us, "Dachila v'shesia michad kronafki." To learn from one source, the way you categorize chatas are based on psukim. So it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, for example. What do you mean? It says, "Lo sa'aseh melacha." Don't do any work, but it says it 39 different times. You can't do work. So each one, although there's not specific in the Torah, which one's Chorish, which one's Zoreah, which one's Kotzer, it has 39 distinct psukim, so they're each distinct. Here, there's one pasuk that says, we'll see in a second the source, V'nisim et nafsho seichem. You're supposed to have inoy and Yom Kippur. That inoy includes Shabbat, includes eating and drinking. It's all one pasuk, therefore there's one chatas only.
It doesn't say what kind of melacha, just lo tasen. From that, they understand lamitet melacha.
Yeah, one of the sources. One source says the pasuk is Eila Hadvarim. Eila is the gematria of what, 36? Right, 36. Eila Hadvarim is 36, and then the other three we get from. The Gemara in Gan Shabbos talks about the drasha. I know 39. Why am I forgetting this now? Eila Hadvarim. Eila Hadvarim. No, I'm forgetting. Okay.
39 psukim.
Yeah, yeah.
Is 39% say it speaks about Shabbos? In regards to that.
Right. The Mishnah says, "Achal." Yeah.
But it's also Masorah.
Yeah, it's also Masorah. It's based on the Mishkan. How many the melachos of Mishkan?
Right, because the parsha of the Mishnah was next to the parsha of Shabbos. So.
Right. In a few weeks, we'll see that the parsha it comes up. So, Gemara says, Mishnah rather says, "Achal v'asa melacha." Let's say in one helam, he forgot his Yom Kippur. He eats. He does some melacha. So then, how many chatos? Chayiv shnei was the Girsa tell us to change it to shtei maybe? Was it based how many? Right, shtei chatos. You chayiv two because the source of malach and Yom Kippur and the source of eating are two different sources. So you look at Rashi. Rashi is about achal va'asa malacha. Trei shemos in no. They're two shemos, two different categories. Why? Dimitrei kroi nafki. From two different psukim, they're derived. So therefore, you chayiv two different chatos. Then the Mishnah says achal ochlen she'enem ruin la'achila. Let's say he eats something that's inedible. Eat dirt, or shasa mashkin shein ruin lashia. You drink something that's undrinkable. You drink inklings. Let's say those halachas vishasa tsir marais, or you drink brine or what's how do they salty water things are what, are these considered undrinkable or are they not considered drinks? These things are pater. Are those examples of things that are inedible or undrinkable?
Shemen nimas shel dag. Oil that's from fish oil that's disgusting.
What's the pater before that? In other words, separate those comments first.
So the first things I think that are inedible. The next things are, so I'm having being told here that it means that the derech is not to drink them. You usually use them as a dip. So if you take I don't know oil and you drink oil, well, oil might not be drinkable anyways, but. But you take this type of thing, brine, and you drink it as opposed to using it as a dip. That's not considered drinking because this is something that's not normally drunk. So therefore, you're pater for these things. What?
Suffering
enough. Right. Right. Imagine not fun to drink. Says the Gemara, "Amar Ish Lakish Mipinei." Malo Nemra Azhara Binoi. Why is there no pasuk that says Azhara? Normally, the halacha is that whenever there's an onesh, you have to have an Azhara. So we have an onesh of Shabbos is Skila. We also have an Azhara. You're warned. Lo sasem lacha. Don't do this. But if you do it, another pasuk says you get Skila. So we never have, we have the punishment of Kares, as mentioned, Kares by Yom Kippur, but where are we ever warned? Where is there ever a warning? Where is there a lav? Don't do this. So, Mara says, because Mishum de lo efsha, there's no way to properly write an Hazara becomes Inoy. Why not? How would you write it? Nichtel rachmana lo yachel, don't eat it. That seems pretty simple. Don't eat chametz. Don't eat nevela. So why not say lo yochal Yom Kippur? Because achila b'kazayis, because that would imply the shear would be kazayis. That's not true. We said the shear of Yom Kippur is kikosevis. So lo yochal won't be a satisfactory source of an hazara. Mar suggests maybe nichto rachmano lo suuna. It's a very strange suggestion. It says don't. Lo suuna literally means don't afflict yourself, which means...
On the contrary, you should say teuna.
But that wouldn't. If you say tuna,
you mean because you need a lav.
If you say low, so it's like say tuna, you flicked yourself. But you have to have the word low there. So it means no, and then let's put a let's say a dash there. No,
that's a very
dash.
That's a very strange havina.
It is. So Mark says, what do you mean?
I mean that's like.
So low tuna means don't afflict yourself. So that means Mark says kum al chamashra. It says so get up and eat. Obviously, that's not what we're supposed to do in Yom Kippur, to get up and eat. So Gemara just really showing to you, just trying to go to the extremes, that there's no possible way to write it. It's just trying to cover all its bases. That's all. It wasn't a seriously entertained the possibility, I would imagine. Okay, unless you read it as low, don't. And then sunnah. That's an interpretation of the low. Okay, the Gemara says, so since there's no way to properly write an Azhara, it didn't have an Azhara in the Torah. So Maskev Lo Rav Hoshaya, Nichta Rachmana, Hishamer, Pen Lo Suna. Why not write, protect yourself, lest you do not do Suna, which implies, Rashi, I think, says in a better way, Rashi's Hishamer, Pen Lo Suna, he says that Hishamer, Pen Tavo, Lide Lo Suna. Protect yourself, make sure you don't come to an amount of not afflicting yourself, meaning you should afflict yourself. Kind of like a double negative. Mara says, Imkain, Nefishi Lehu Lave, and you're going to have multiple Lavim, because Hishamer and Pen, as Rashi tells us, Imkain, Nefishi Lehu Lave, Hishamer or Pen, Shishneim Lo Sasahain, they both are Lavim. We saw, I think, already here in Yuma, comes up a number of places in Shas. The word Hishamer always tells me a Lav. The word Pen also tells me a Lav. Vanan Lav Echadamir, says Rashi, we only want one, we don't need three Lavim. Shema Lorat Zalharbos Balavim. Maybe the Torah didn't want to have multiple Lavim, they only wanted one Lav. So Hishamer Pen, Lav, it would imply three Lavim, that's not what we wanted.
So could also say Hishamer Lo Le'anot, and take out the pen.
No, but the pen tells me Pen Tavo, lest you come to. Hishamer Lav means protect yourself from the Lav of Lo Suna. Pen makes it into that Tavoli day. So then the Gemara says, Maskev Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Nichta Rachmana Hishamer V'mitzvos Inoy. So maybe guard and protect yourself from all the mitzvahs of Inoy. The mitzvahs of Inoy meaning don't eat, don't drink. So protect yourself, guard from it. And since we know now that the word Hishamer means a lav, so Hishamer, mitzvahs of Inoy will tell us you're going to have a lav for violating Inoy. In Cain, Gemara says, Hishamer de lav, Hishamer de ase. It doesn't work that way. When you have the word Hishamer, which is referring to a lav, then it becomes a lav. But when you have Hishamer referring to an asay, Hishamer only means an asay. We're looking for a lav, not for an asay. So whatever the word Hishamer is describing, it becomes that. So if it's describing mitzvahs, the word Hishamer basically takes on whatever it's describing. So if Hishamer is describing a lav, Hishamer lo this. I'm not sure. What's an example? I don't know.
Pen. No, usually it goes with pen.
I don't have an example here, but let's look. Right, Rashi has an example. You see, Hishamer de lav, kigon Hishamer bin nega taras, shelo yikots baharaso. So there says, be careful, protect the nega taras, lest you cut it, remove the taras. It's an issa deraisa of cutting off a taras from your skin. Hishamer de asei, Hishamer shetisaner, be careful that you should have inoy. So look, where's the pasuk in Dvarim Chavdal? Is this on the side here? Do you have it maybe on the? Is it quoted in the art scrolls? Rashi doesn't quote the whole pasuk here. They have it in the back here.
Don't
22.
כמה בין דגת צרעת, שהזירו מלחתוך סימני הצרעת, לכאורה, קשה, מדוע נשמר בין דגת צרעת עכשיו?
Kisete talks about this. Chafdal Chet. It doesn't say lav here in the pasuk.
No, here it says like this. It says why it explains. It says Madua hishamer benega tzarat nechshav leishamer shel lav ve'ilu hishamer b'mitzvat inui yechshav leishamer shel ase ve'yesh lomar shebetzarat lo ne'mar shum mitzvat ase. ואם כן, ודאי כוונת התורה היא להזהיר במצוות לא תעשה, שלא תחתוק את סימן הצרעת, ולא לצוות את על עשיית איזה דבר. Because it was never, on צרעת, there was never a love. There was never an assay, so for sure it's going on a love. אבל בעינוי, שכבר נאמר מצוות עשה של ביניתם לנפשותיך, היום מתפרש ציווי נוסף של הישמר במצוות עינוי, כתוספת חיזוק, שיזהרו במשמירת מצוות העשה הקיימת, ולא כמצוות לא תעשה מחודשת.
It's plus and plus become minus.
Right. Meaning that in the case of Tzarat, there was never a mitzvah
aseh. Right.
So there's no mitzvah aseh. So it has to be referring to the love.
So when there is no mitzvah aseh, for sure it's not going to come and get it. Minus times minus is a plus.
30 years ago, remember.
Okay, so when it comes to Taras, we're saying there's no assay, there's no mitzvah assay by Taras, so Hishamer, there has to be referring to the lav, because there is a lav by Taras,
right.
But there's no...
Like the only way you can apply Hishamer on Taras is on the lav, because there's no mitzvah assay on Taras.
When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, there's only a mitzvah assay, there's no lav assay,
right.
So Hishamer has to be referring to an assay.
Right.
So the word Hishamer doesn't always mean lav, it really takes on whatever context.
Right, it goes to whatever context it was said before, and it doesn't bring a chidush. That, I think the whole idea of this is that Hishamer never brings anything new. It always applies to whatever we said before. It's just a hazara to.
So therefore, the word Hishamer, b'mitzvah inoy, won't help us, won't create a lav for us, because all Hishamer is doing is just strengthening an already existing asset.
Exactly.
So then Gemara asks, okay, let's make another suggestion. Then we're still looking for the lav. Can you create an hazhara in the Torah for Yom HaKippurim? So Maskev LaRav Ashi Nichtov Al Taser Min HaInoy. This is a very good lav. Don't remove yourself from Inoy. Meaning, you should always be in 25 hours of Yom Kippur. Have Inoy. Kasha. The Gemara says that seems to be a good suggestion. The Gemara doesn't have a good answer as to why the Torah doesn't use that. Al Taser Min HaInoy. That's how the Gemara ends this discussion. So the Gemara says now, V'tana Maisele Mahacha, and the Braisa brings this from here. Where does it bring from here?
What's the kasha?
Wanted to know, the kasha here. Yeah. The Gemara in the beginning of this discussion wanted to know what's the source in the Torah. Why the Torah never says an hazhara, a warning not to have Inoy Yom Kippur. Yeah. And the Gemara back and forth, there's no real way to write a lav in this context. There's no proper way. We went back and forth all these different suggestions. So Gemara concludes here, well, what do you mean? Al Tasim and Ha'inoy would have been a very good way to write. Don't hold back from Inoy, meaning you have to subjugate yourself to some type of Inoy. Al Taser, don't remove yourself. That would be a very good Azara. I don't know why the Torah didn't use it. The Torah could have used this, and the Torah should have used this. We don't know why the Torah didn't use this.
So they find a solution, but still doesn't answer the question.
Right. Tana Maisi Lemahacha, the Braisa here brings the source of an Azara from the following, the different Braisa now. V'nitzim esnaf shoseichem. A person is supposed to afflict himself in Yom Kippur, and he's not supposed to do any work. Maybe a person's going to have, he'll get onesh karis on the tosefes malacha, on any of the added, Rashi tells us we're talking about tosefes Yom Kippurim. The halach is, midiraisa, the day only starts at Teisa Kochavim. Maybe you want to say Shkia, the night starts Shkia. There's a halacha that you have to add on to Shabbos, that Yom Tov and Yom Kippur started a little bit earlier, on to Chol. See, Rashi says, Al Tosefes Melacha, Im Lo Hosif Michol HaKodesh, Let's say a person did not add on a few extra minutes on the Erev of Yom Kippur. He didn't add on. He did work up until last moment of when Yom Kippur actually starts. He didn't add on. Anichol, one might think you should be chayv karis on that tosefes mlacha, on doing work during that time period that you should have added on Yom Kippur. Tamal omar, b'chol ha-nefesh, asher taseh, kom lacha b'etzem hayom hazeh, the pasuk says. I'll eat sumo shayom anushkaris, on the etzem, the actual day of Yom Kippur, a person's chayv karis, ve'enu anushkaris al tosefes mlacha, a person does not get karis, although it's aser, a person does not get karis on what's added on tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So Gemara says, then Yachol lo yehei onesh karis al tosefes mlacha, aval yehei onesh karis al tosefes inoy. Okay, so maybe a person did work mlacha up until the last second, he wouldn't get a karis. But maybe let's say he ate during that 5 minutes where he should have added on Yom Kippur. Again, 5 minutes before sundown, he should have added on, but he didn't. He ate to the last second. Maybe he should get karis for eating. We already established he doesn't get a karis for working, but maybe for eating he should. Tamalomar ki chol hanefesh asher lo suune. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, v'nichrasa, al yitzuma shel yom anish kares, ve'eno anish kares al tosefes inoy. So this pasuk here talks about inoy in the context of etzem hayom hazeh. Where's the whole pasuk here? Right, so the pasuk, there are two pasukim on the side here. They're right next to each other, actually, in the Torah. I'll read them to you. One pasuk says, the first one that we use says, v'chol nefesh asher taseh kom lacha be'etzem hayom hazeh, Vavati as a nefesh shahi mekerv amah. Vavati is referring to karis. So you only get karis on doing melacha on etzem hayom hazeh, not on tosefes. And the other pasuk, this one actually appears before the other one.
Right,
says kichol nefesh asher lo suune be'etzem hayom hazeh has nichrasav me'amel. The person gets karis for not doing inoy on the etzem on the actual day, but on tosefes yom kippurim he doesn't get karis if he does eat on tosefes yom kippurim. So then the Gemara says, Yachol lo ye bechal onesh, so maybe there shouldn't be an onesh aval yehei muzhar al tosefes mlacha, but there should be at least be an azhara, a warning, and a lav, you should violate an issa deraisa for doing malacha during this tosefes time period, this 5 minutes before Yom Kippur. Tamalomar v'chol mlacha lo sa'asu be'etzem hayom hazeh. There's a different pasuk, not the one we mentioned before, a different pasuk that says, I'll read this one to you. This is a pasuk even before that one. It says, "V'chol mlacha lo sasu be'etzem yom hazeh ki yom kippurim hu." You don't do any mlacha on etzem on the actual day, but on erev Yom Kippur on the Tosefes there is no lav on erev Yom Kippur.
I don't understand the whole limud here at the beginning. So they're trying to prove that there is an azara.
We haven't gotten there yet, but we'll probably get to that point. We'll bring a brisa. We're talking about a different issue.
So where does he get the whole thing from Tosefet?
No, it's a different point now. This brisa about Tosefet.
So what? It's something about Tosefet.
A brisa about Tosefet Yom Kippurim. The reason why I bring it for us...
Independent. It's just saying,
we're
going
to see through this brisa, we're going to get to see an hazhara for Eno, which we haven't gotten to yet. So... Okay, so Gemara says now again, Tamalomer kom lacha lo sasu be'etzem yom hazeh, al yitzuma shayom hu muzar. He's warned about doing melacha on the actual day of Yom Kippur. Ve'enu muzar al tosefes melacha. He's not warned about doing work on tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So there's no lav at all for working on tosefes Yom Kippur. The 5 minutes beforehand, there's no lav. Yachol lo yehem muzar al tosefes melacha, aval yehem muzar al tosefes inoy. Okay, we already established this Yom HaKippurim, but maybe there should be at least a lav in Azhara for eating any form of inoy that you don't do on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So during those 5 minutes, if a person washes his body, rubs oil, eats or drinks, he should have an azhara at least. We already established there's no karis, but there should be maybe a lav. But dinhu, it seems quite logical to say that. Why, what's the kavachomer? You might think that there should be a lav of inoy on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So Gemara explains, Ma mulacha shuna heges b'shabasos v'yom tov eino muzar alea. So, just like melacha, which applies to Shabbos, applies to Yom Tov, there is no lav on Tosefes Yom Kippur. Inoy she'eno nog b'Shabbosos v'Yom Tov. Eino din shlo yeh muzar alav. But inoy, which is less prevalent, it's not as, it only applies to Yom Kippur, one day a year. It's a much weaker type of iser, because it only applies once a year. So certainly that inoy shouldn't apply on Tosefes Yom Kippurim either. Aval...
think we
learned, okay, fine. So that's the Kavah Homer.
I think we learned the Gemara, right, a while ago, that there were some women in one of the cities that used to eat right to Yom Kippur started.
No? It comes up later. I don't think we saw it yet. Did we see it here? Was
or
in this?
Maybe I said it somewhere
It's in this parak.
That it said.
Yeah, but I don't think we saw it yet.
So maybe I read, maybe Rabbi Weinberger brought it on something.
Yeah, it comes up here in the Gemara in Beitza, so maybe it's in Beitza, and Rosh Hashanah comes up.
What's the name of the city? Was it when
I don't remember the city, but Mutashu Shoshogin
Vlo Yom Zedim, right? The Chachamim weren't stopping them from doing it.
Right. It comes up on an Alman Beis here somewhere.
Right. Oh, we learned to wear a Weinberger on the whole union of Azara. It's called the Torah Arim Zelazeh. I remember that. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember the city. Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, I think it comes up here. Okay, so the Gemara says now, so we already established, so therefore we through the Kavah Homer, just like there's no Isser Molach on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, there's also no Isser Inoy on Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. That's the whole Brisa. And the first wide line of the Gemara we're up to now says, Aval Azhara Le'inoy Shayom Atzmo Lolamanu. Through this whole Brisa, we never found, where is there an Azhara for the actual day? We saw that there's an Onish Karis for a person who violates Inoy on the Yom Kippur itself. But where do we find an Azhara about the actual day? Minayin. Gemara says, again, Aval Azhara Le'inoy Shayom Atzmo Lolamanu Minayin Lo Yemar Onish Bimlacha. No need to say onesh on by the mlacha, because you could derive an onesh from inoy and apply the onesh to the mlacha. Meaning, ma inoy she'enu noeg b'shabbos of yom tov onesh kares inoy, which is very limited, it only applies to Yom Kippur, and we see that the pasuk tells me there's kares for inoy, for violating inoy. So mlacha she'noheges b'shabbos of yom tovim, mlacha which is much more widely spread. And much stronger, let's say, the Gemara says, Lo Koshkin is not a Kavah Homer that should also have Karis. If Inoy, which is so limited, so it has Karis, certainly Blach, which applies elsewhere, which is much stronger, should certainly have Karis. So Lama Nemar, so why does it say Karis in regards to Mlacha? So we learn from there that it must be
so,
that.
So it's saying here that there is a Hazara on Melacha, and there's no Hazara on Inoy, and you learn Inoy from Kavah Homer of the Hazara of Melacha? Or
we're
no,
saying,
is all it's trying to say?
Based on what we have, the stats of the Pesukim are as follows. We have Azhara and Onesh from Melacha. We have an Onesh for Inoy only.
But Azhara and Onesh from Melacha, we only have it
No, but first in the Pesukim.
For Shabbos.
No, but first in by Yom Kippur, but first in the Pesukim.
From this one? From,
yeah.
From
Pasuk Chav Ches and Pasuk Chav.
Okay. So what's the difference between the pasuk lamed and the pasuk haftes? One is on melach and one is on inui.
No, what? Again, we have three pesukim here, right? There's chafches, chaftes, and lamed, different orders. So the chalosasu, that's the azhar from
melach. Okay.
Lamed is the kares on melacha. It says kom melacha v'avati. And then chaftes is the lav of
kares. So lamed is actually the halacha, kaf ches is the hazara, and on inu we only have the lav, but we don't have
no,
the...
No, we only have the karis.
Right, so we only have the karis, and we don't have the... Okay.
Right, so we're looking for the lav now. So Gemara says, no, with those three psukim that we have, there was no need to mention karis regarding malacha, because if karis exists by inoy, you could have used the kalvach homer and say, well, inoy, which is very limited, it's not such a strong isser, right. It only applies to Yom Kippur, yet this is an onish karis. So Melacha, which applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's much more serious. Certainly that should have a Karis attached to it as well. So why does the Pasuk then say Karis? Why does it repeat? Not really repeat, but why does it unnecessarily say Karis regarding Melacha Yom Kippur? It seems unnecessary. So the Gemara says, Lama Nemar, so why does it mention Karis regarding Melacha Yom Kippur, even though it's unnecessary? To tell us that's Mufna Lahakish, that word or that Pasuk becomes Eksha, to be available to make the following hekesh. To make a hekesh, you need words to be available. You can't use words that are needed for another purpose. Only when words are superfluous do they become available for making a hekesh. So what's the hekesh? V'ladun mimena gzer shava. Now we can make a hekesh, or it's extra to make a gzer shava. Nemar, I'm not sure why, whether it's a hekesh or gzer shava, but it seems like a gzer shava. I'm not sure why it mentions hekesh also. Nemar onesh bi'inoi v'nemar onish melacha. Now we've established, it mentions onish for melacha, it mentions onish for inoy. We could use this as a gzeirah shava. Ma melacha lo onish elim kin hizer. Just like melacha, you only get punished because it's preceded with an ashara. There's a warning, there's a lav. Af inoy lo onish elim kin hizer. So too, when it comes to the inoy, you could only get punishment because it's preceded with the lav. So that's the source of the lav. It's really not explicit in the Torah. Rather, it's derived through this gzeirah shava, that just like melacha has azhara, so too inoy has an azhara.
What's the havamina here? I don't understand. It's trying to tell us that the azhara shouldn't go on melacha. It should go really on inoy, because inoy is more kal and you wouldn't need it for melacha.
The onesh is unnecessary to be mentioned.
And therefore, we should use the onesh of melacha for inoy.
It should be used as a gzera shava to connect the halachas of melacha to inoy. I mean, when it comes to the laws of gzera shava, the words have to be available. It can't be a word used for another drasha.
So it's saying the Torah should not teach us about the love of melacha, because it's teaching us about the love on inoy, which is a much kal. It's from Malacha, so we wouldn't need it.
Not the lav, the onesh.
The onesh, okay.
Right. The onesh, you could have learned the onesh of Malacha from Inoy.
So we have the extra pasuk on Malacha, and we can use it for an azara for Inoy.
Well, it was first used for as a gzera shava between now, since Malacha is extra, the onesh is Malacha is extra.
Right.
It's extra. Why? To tell me, it must be a drash of gzera shava connecting Inoy.
Uh-huh. So the same way as Malacha, which has an azara and an onesh.
Just like the onesh of melacha is preceded with an azara, then, so to inoy, even though it doesn't mention azara, through the gzeirah shava, we can learn that it also must have an implicit azara as well. Okay. So that's the source. There's no real explicit place of an azara for an inoy, but that's, we learn that there must be an azara through this gzeirah shava. So the Gemara says, ikel mifrach, one may ask the following question. Mali inoy shlo huter michlalo, tomer b'mlacha shuter michlalo? No, we had the assumption that melacha was much stronger, much more chamer than that of an inoy. But what do you mean? That's not true. Melacha is actually weaker, because inoy is never mutter, as opposed to melacha is mutter. Where do we find this?
Some
yomtiv, I guess.
Kegon shchitat korbanot hayom shemuteret b'yom haKippurim. Let's say you're allowed to do shchitas of the korbanos.
I see. Okay, there you go. Right. So melachas are not across the board aser for korbanos, for shchita, and the other things. You could do melachas mutter, but there's never a heter way, and there's never a heter for inoy yom kippur. So inoy therefore is more chomer. You cannot learn make a kavachomer from if inoy is chiv onesh kares. So to melacha is a chiv kares. Because Inoy is actually more chamer than that of melacha.
So now we don't have an extra pasuk for the gzera shava.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Ela Gemara says, Ela lo yomar onish be Inoy. Don't mention onish by Inoy. The gamar melacha. You could have learned it from melacha. Now that we've established that Inoy is much more chamer than melacha, you could say ma melacha shehutu michlalo. It's mutter. There's a certain leniency to melacha. Yet onish karis Inoy shlohutu michlalo lo kol shagain. Inoy, which is so much stronger, that there's never a heter in Yom Kippur for Inoy. Certainly that should have a chiv karis. So why does it then mention onesh kares by inoy? Mufna must be lahakish, must be made available. It's extra to be used as a hekesh. Uladun mimenu gzeir shava nemar onesh by inoy, nemar onesh mimlacha, na mlacha onesh vihizir, af inoy onesh vihizir. So now that we have this gzeir shava, just like malacha has an onesh and there's also a nazhara, so too inoy must have a nazhara attached to the kares as well. Mar says that's not, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just not getting the gzeira shava, because the gzeira shava is that you get the same halacha. But here you're trying to say, well, you know what? There is a hasra in melacha. Then, you know, there should be hasra also on inoy. But there is no hasra on inoy. So what's? I don't understand. It's saying that same way as the punishment on. Meaning it's chal because it's hasra. The same punishment would be chal on inoy because of
melacha. Right, because it's a cloud that the Torah says that anytime an onesh, there must be an hasara every time there's an onesh. If there's an onesh, there must be an hasara somewhere. Right. So the Torah, the Gemara is trying to find out, where's the hazara for...
But that's what I'm saying, but that it's not a valid zirashava in a way, because there is no hazara. It's just trying to teach you, but Lemay said there is.
Right, so I guess the chiddush is that you don't... Well, a couple of things. One is zirashava. I remember seeing this somewhere. When there's a zirashava, we view... I think Rashi says this somewhere. When there's a zirashava, it's ki'ilu, it's kasav in the Torah. It's as if it's written. Okay. That's a chiddush. So once you have that, or you could say, no, even though Gzer Shava doesn't make it as if it's written, you don't need an Azhara to be actually written. You have to have it just indicated somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a Rashi that says something like that. Okay, says the Gemara now, Ikla Mifrach, you can't go in that direction either. You can't necessarily learn Inoy from Lacha, because Ikla Mifrach, you could ask the following question, Malam Lacha, Shekei no Heges b'Shabbos v'Yom Tovim, like we said before, well, Shabbos is more machmir because Shabbos applies to more Yisroel, it applies to Shabbos, it applies to Yom Tov, and Inoy only applies once a day. So you keep going back and forth, we're not sure which one's more chamer. So I'm Ravina, Hai Tana Etzem Gamar. He uses the following Gzer Shav of Etzem. Forget Onesh, you're right. It needs to mention Onesh regards to Melacha, it needs to mention Onesh regards to Inoy. You can't learn one from the next. But the word Etzem, that seems to be extra. Gamar, Mufna, it has to be, the Etzem is the Gzer Shava, it says Etzem by Inoy, it says Etzem by Melacha. Gamar says it has to be Mufna, it has to be an extra pasuk, it has to be superfluous. Because Dilo Mufta, because if the word was not extra, you could have, Ikel Mifrach, Kedebrachinan. So you could have asked like we asked above. So again, the way the Gzer Shava works is as follows, it only works when the... If there's no questions, you can ask from the two different psukim, so you can use any words you want for Gzer Shava. If there's an Ikla Mifrach, if you can ask questions like we asked above, then the Gzer Shava only works if the word becomes an extra word. So where I want to know now, Laya Ufno, Mufno, which of the words are extra?
Which of the Etzem?
Which of the Etzems are extra, exactly. But I think that's what the question is. I think Mar says it is. It has to be extra. So which one is extra? Lai means emes. It is extra. So how do we see that one of the words are extra? So the Gemara says Chamisha Kroy Ksiva B'Melacha. It says the five different psukim regards to Melacha on Yom Kippur. Chal Lazara Diyamama. One to warn you about the Melacha on the daytime. Chal Lazara Dilayla. One to warn you about the Azara on the nighttime. Chal Onesh. One for the Onesh Diyamama. Chal Onesh Dilayla. It says five times Melacha, two for the day, two for the night. Fifth one becomes extra. That extra one for Melacha becomes available to use the Gzer Shava to derive Inoy from it. And that's how the Gemara concludes. That's the Azara. Again, there's no explicit Azara for Inoy, but it's learned through this Gzer Shava. Wow, it's late. The Vei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Rabbi Shmuel learned the following. Namar kan Inoy v'namar lahalan Inoy. It says Inoy in two different places. It says Inoy in regards to Yom Kippur. It says Inoy also, where's the other mention of Inoy? In regards to Nara Murasa. So an engaged woman who becomes raped. So it says, right. So it says Inoy in that place as well. So Inoy in regards to Nara Murasa, it says an Anush and an Azhara. So to Inoy mentioned by Yom Kippur also has to have some implicit Azhara as well.
Meaning the one?
That even though it doesn't actually mention Azhara, like we've been saying, through the Gzer Shava of Nar Murasa, there must be an Azhara there. Same thing we said above.
It seems the opposite, saying that that you need it written. All right.
No, but again, if you assume like what I said from the Rashi, wherever the Rashi is.
Why is he bringing this?
He has a different reason. They're searching for an Azhara for Inoy.
Yeah, but here it's right, okay.
So they weren't comfortable with the one above. Rabbi Shmuel thought...
The one above is the is the Gzer Shava.
It's also Gzer Shava, yes.
But this one is not Gzer Shava here.
No, it is, because it's Inoy.
No, he is just telling us that unless you have an Azara, there is no...
No, no.
There is no
Oyin. He says, so no, look. It says, Kan, Nemar Kan Inoy. It says here, of Yom Kippur Inoy.
Right.
But Nemar Lahalan Inoy. It says Inoy, right. Regards Namarasa. Okay. Those are two words. That's Gzer Shava. Ma Lahalan Lo Anush Elam Kin Hizir. Afkan Lo Anush Elam Kin Hizir.
It's a different Gzer Shava.
Exactly. Okay. Rav Acha, now, to explain the Machlokas, the different types of Gzer Shava. Some Gzer Shavas are as follows. That we know, the Mesorah was, that we know there's some Gzer Shava that tells us that there's an Azhara for Yom Kippur. That was the Mesorah, let's say. Now, they didn't tell us which words and where you learn this from. So that's why there might be a Machlokas. Gzer Shava has to be something that's only a Mesorah. So how is there a Machlokas? Because sometimes the Gzer Shava's Mesorah is that there is some Gzer Shava, you go and find it. But there's some Gzer Shava that tells us that there is an Azhara for Yom Kippur. So that's why there might be a debate, well, which Gzer Shava? Do you learn from here? Do you learn from there? Continues the Gemara, it says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Yolv Shabbos Shabbosun Mishabbos Bereshis. We have Shabbos Shabbosim, it says, but Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabbosim. So we learn that from Shabbos itself, Shabbos Bereishis refers to a Stam Shabbos. Malahal and the Alanish Elam Kena Hizir, just like a regular Shabbos, you only get a Chiv Kares or Chiv Kila, since there's an Azhara. Avkan lo Alanish Elam Kena Hizir, only if you get warned. So this is a different Gezer Shava to teach you that there's an Azhara. Rapapa Amar. Who gufa Shabbos ikre? What do you mean? Shabbos, Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos, dichsiv tishpesu Shabboschem. It itself is called Shabbos. So the very fact that it's called Shabbos, that tells me that there must be an Azhara. It's not even through Gzer Shabbat. It's like that's right, explicitly what the Torah is telling me. It is Shabbos. So Bishma, Rapapa, lo amar kurav, achaber Yaakov, dikra dichsiv begufa yadif. So I understand why Rapapa, the second opinion, didn't say like the first opinion of the Gzer Shava, because the Pasuk itself is much better. Instead of using Gzer Shava, read the Pasuk, Begufa Yadav. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, my time, lo amar Rapapa. Why didn't he say like Rapapa? It's called Tishpesu Shabbaschem. Mivayle, because that Pasuk of Tishpesu is teaching me a different halacha. I can't learn it for an Azara. It's used for a different drasha. What's the drasha? Lichadatani, the Brisa tells us, V'initzim es nafshar seichem betisha l'chodesh. You're supposed to afflict yourself on the ninth. Mar says, Yachol Yaschav Yisana B'Tisha. And you might think, well, really Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tisha, not the 9th. So what does it mean that you flick yourself on the 9th? You're supposed to start fasting already on the 9th. Tamal Omer Be'erev, you only started in the evening, not on the 9th. Well, Yi Be'erev, Yachol M'Shetich Shachiv, it's from the evening, you might think, from only when it gets dark. Tamal Omer, what?
Be'erev is the right.
So Tamil Omer, B'Tisha, no, the 9th. So what is it, is it nighttime? Is it the 9th? When exactly are you starting the Inoy? Ha'ketad, maschul mis'ana mibod yom. You have to start fasting a little bit earlier, not on the 9th, from the night of the 9th, from the daytime, the evening, the late afternoon of the 9th, which goes into the 10th, the 9th of the 10th. Mikan, from here we learn, shemosif and mechol al-kodesh, there's a lach of tosevas yom kippurim that you're supposed to add on, start a little bit earlier, Yom Kippur. Now, v'ainli ela b'knisaso. I only know when you start Yom Kippur, you're supposed to add on. B'yitziyaso minayin. How do I know when I end Yom Kippur? I'm supposed to delay the ending of Yom Kippur a few moments. Tam lomer me'erev ad erev, from one evening to the next evening. So just like erev in the beginning meant 10 minutes before Yom Kippur started, let's say. So through the end has to be 10 minutes after Yom Kippur actually ends. V'ainli ela Yom HaKippurim. I only know Yom Kippur has to have the halacha of Tosefes. You add it on. I mean, Yom Tovim, the Shabbosos, I think the Girsa should be nine. How do I know also Shabbos Yom Tif also has the halachas of adding on Shabbos Yom Tif, adding on Kedusha? Tamil Omer, Tishbisu. That's what the Pasuk Bab Tishbisu is used for, to teach me that you're supposed to add on to Shabbos and Yom Tif as well.
So he's using it to learn Shabbos from here, not here from anything else.
Exactly. So therefore, right.
It's the opposite.
Exactly. Therefore, the word Tishbisu teaches me Tosefes Yom Tov applies to Shabbos as well, and you can't use Tishbisu to tell me that there's an Azhara like Shabbos in general. That's right. Why he rejected the Drasha Bab. Ainli Ela, again, all the Girsas here. Ainli Ela Yom Tovim. Shabbos is minayin. How do you know Shabbos has halachas also of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? Tamil Omer Shabboschem. So the Pasuk says Tishbesu Shabboschem. So one to teach me Yom Tov, one to teach me Shabbos, that all these halachas have Tosefes Kedusha. Okay, so how do you have this? Kol Malkum Shinem Ar Shavus Mosif. A lot of parentheses here. Mosifin Michal HaKodesh. Any place where there's some type of Shavus, Shabbos, some type of resting, which includes Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and Yom Tov, all those have the halachas of Tosef, Chol, Mosif, and Chol HaKodesh. You're supposed to add on, take some of the Kedusha, and expand it onto the Chol. Now, there's so much to be said about Tosef, Yom Kippurim, so much fun, love this, so unfortunately, we don't have the time for that. I'll just mention one thing. The Rambam's shita is that Tosefes only applies to Yom Kippur. He doesn't hold Tosefes Shabbos, doesn't hold the Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Only Tosefes Yom Tov. He only mentions Tosefes Yom Kippurim as the halacha. He ignores Shabbos
as
Yom Tov.
As a mitzvah, but not as a to be careful.
He doesn't mention it at all. No mention of it.
Really?
Only Yom Kippur. One other place he mentions.
But he still holds that it's 18 minutes before Shkia.
18 minutes. Again, that might be halachas of Zmanim, but not halachas of Tosefes. If he even holds that way. I'm not sure what the shita is in terms of the Zmanim, though.
Okay.
But Tosefes only applies to Yom Kippur, and there's a Rambam in Perish HaMishnayos, the end of Tainus, which says it applies to Tisha B'Av as well, actually. Okay, anyways. But I wish there was more to say on this. I know there is. I wish I had more time to say on this. Breitza says, what? Tana, we have just a few minutes. We have to start getting ready. Allah HaChanos. Tana, the etzem.
7:05 today, no?
Yeah.
So it's 10 to 7.
Yeah, but you leave at that. We're watching your back.
Yeah. Tana, the Braisa, the etzem, the Braisa that learned the Gzer Shava etzem to teach me the halachas of Azhara, hi betish lechodesh my avilei. What does he use this drasha of tish lechodesh for? Ah, Rashi explains, Tana de Etzem Etzem means Itzrech Lemute Lotosefes Hachol Meonesh, Umeazhara, Me Melech Mein and Mosifin, Behive Nisim Betisha Behive Avile. The fact that you need the words Etzem to exclude Tosefes, that you don't get punished and you don't get a law for doing things during Tosefes, already has the working on the premise that Tosefes exists. Tosefes is such a concept. The fact that you have to exclude Onesh and Hazara from Tosefes tells me that it already exists. No, if it already exists...
So he's going back to the first Mishnah, to the first Braisa.
Right, I think so, yeah. Okay. So that Braisa had the premise that there already existed a Tosefes.
Right.
So if you already have the Tosefes, you don't need the Braisa we just brought above of Tisha Michol to teach me that there was a Tosefes. He already knows that from elsewhere. Right. So now what's he going to do with this prosuk of V'nitzim es nafshu seichem b'tisha l'chodesh? What's that coming to teach me? He can't be teaching me Tosefes because he already knows Tosefes.
Even though we don't know from where he knows
it. Exactly, we don't know from where, but right. Apparently it may be a Masorah, but that he knew it somewhere to have to exclude it.
It's interesting, how does he know? Okay.
So Gemara says, my Avidlei, what does he do with this? Mi Baile, he needs it for the following. L'chadetani chia barav midifti, detani chia barav midifti, gizuntai, b'nisim esnaf shoseichem b'tisha, the Pasuk says. You're fasting on the 9th, you're fasting on the 10th. What do you mean you're fasting on the 9th? It doesn't make any sense. Anybody who eats and drinks on the 9th day, is that we consider it as if he fasted on both the 9th and the 10th.
I think that's the limit we hold. Right.
It's brought down halacha. We hold of all these halachas. We hold of the eating on the 9th. We hold of the Tosefes Yom HaKippur Mosa.
Right, but I think that we hold that we learn eating the ninth is a mitzvah from here.
No? Uh-huh. And the source of Tosef is learned from elsewhere, like the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us. Okay, that makes sense. Now, there's also so much to say here about what the nature of the eating on the ninth day is. How exactly is there a mitzvah there? We already saw this in Pesachim as well, but again, unfortunately, no time for this. Achal ochlin shein ruin le'achila. So a person's eating foods that are inedible. And we said in the Mishnah that eating inedible foods is your pater from karis. So Amar Rava, kas pilpul biyom de kippura pater. Person chews pepper on Yom Kippur, he's pater. It's inedible. You can't eat pepper. I'm talking about pepper, the spice, not the vegetable. Kas zangvila biyom de kippura pater. If you eat zangvila, what's that? Ginger, right? You eat ginger, then you're pater as well. Meisive, Gemara and Brachos also has the same shakla tarya, almost. Meisive, haya Rebbe Meir, Omer, mimashu shenemar v'araltam arlaso as pirio. So, talking about arlo, the halakha of arlo is that in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps chutz la'aretz as well, but in Eretz Yisrael, midiraisa, in the first 3 years you grow a fruit, it's called arlo, you're not allowed to eat it. The fourth year it's called netir va, you bring the fruit to Yerushalayim to eat it, and the fifth year you can eat it wherever you want. So the politics is, yeah.
So even the fourth year you need to bring to Yerushalayim. Correct. You cut all of the fruits or only part of it, meaning part of the tree?
All the fruits that are grown in the fourth year have to be brought to Yerushalayim.
So how, if it was growing for 4 years and you have a fruit and you cut it and you bring to Yerushalayim, so what do you mean in the fifth year? Because it takes time to the fruit to regrow.
Yeah, so the next year when it grows, in the fifth year.
Every crop.
Also, so the first 3 years it's growing, but it doesn't consider as a good fruit.
Correct.
That's good. You just cannot eat it. It's orla.
It's orla. That's what I mean. Right. Right. So every year it grew.
Yeah.
I understand. I thought it takes it 4 years to grow.
If it takes four years to grow, there's halachas about that. You might not be orla doesn't start necessarily until the fruit actually grows. Right.
It's the first year that the fruit really comes out. That's the first year of orla. I think that's the halacha, right?
The first year the fruit comes out. I think it's complicated. Like, I think papaya takes a few years to grow. So I think there's an issue with
you
that.
You need to regrow it once you take it
out. I think it's initially for it to grow. I think it's a discussion whether arla applies to papaya, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Something like this, I think I once heard. So anyways, the Pasuk says, Meisive, Hayat Rebbe Meir Omer, Mimash Meshen Emar, Varaltem Arla, so that's Purio, En Yodesh Eitz Machal Hu. So do I not know that referring to a fruit? What do you mean? Why does it say Purio? Of course it's talking about a fruit tree. What else does arla apply to? The pasuk continues to say. Rather, I should have read. Pasuk says, "V'chisavo el haaretz untatem kol eitz machel, v'araltem arlaso es pirio." So why eitz machel? We know we're talking about a fruit tree. If we're talking about arlaso es pirio, of course eitz machel. Why mention eitz machel? So elamatam lomer eitz machel, eitz shetam eito ur pirio shave, where the wood itself, the bark, tastes like the fruit. Heavy omer zeh pilpulin. This is pilpulin. This is pepper. That pepper, apparently, I don't know how pepper grows at all, but apparently the fruit of the pepper tree and the wood of the pepper tree all taste like pepper. Vein said, one, to teach me that it's chayv n'arla. And number two is, vein eretz Yisrael chaser b'klum, that doesn't miss anything, shenemar lo sechza koba, that everything, even the pepper, exists in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has everything you could possibly imagine. It's all in Eretz Yisrael. But, okay, without getting too involved in the b'risa, what we see from the b'risa, though, is the fact that orla applies to pilpulin, to pepper, tells me that pilpulin are actually edible. We said above that if you eat pepper on Yom Kippur, it's potter because it's inedible. Here the b'risa tells me that it is edible, the fact that orla applies to it. Morse says, lokasha, that's not a problem because haber tivasa, haber yivasha. One is talking about where it's a moist, an edible piece of fruit, one is where it's dry. So the pepper that we have as spices is dried, that's inedible. The fruit that the b'risa was referring to is when it's in the moist state, apparently then it's edible. Amalei Ravina Limareimar, V'hamer Rav Nachman, Hai Himlasa, this Himlasa, which is a type of spice, it's called liturigi in Old French, at least. I don't know what it means in English. Anything on that? Cumin, maybe? Da'asi mi bei Hindu, it comes from Hindu, India or something.
Eretz Kush.
Eretz Kush, right? India, right?
Who is Kush?
So it's referring to Africa, maybe?
Kush is Persian, no?
Persia, is it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so it comes from Persia. So this spice, sharia, is permitted in terms of what? There's not an issue. Rashi says, sharia, ein bo mishum bishuli nachem. It's not an issue of bishul akum. A non-Jew can't cook food for you. So this, if he cooks it, it's okay, because Rashi explains, mishum mishin kemoshu chai. Something that's eaten in the raw state, and they cook it, won't be a problem of bishul akum. So for example, let's say an apple, a person eats an apple raw, if a non-Jew were to cook it, so it's not going to be a problem of bishul akum. As opposed to an egg, you don't eat an egg raw, but if they cook an egg, so they made it into something edible, that would be a problem of bishul akum. So this him lasa, whatever it is, was something that's eaten in its raw state, so even if it was cooked by a non-Jew, it would still be mutter.
Because yesterday I had a discussion about bishul goyim, about all, you know, coffee and everything, you know, that you love.
Right. So one thing he says is permitted to be eaten because it's not a problem of bishul akum. Number two, he says, muvarchina labori priha adama. You say adama and it grows from the ground, apparently not from a tree. So Gemara says, so how is that possible? So what's the question? What's himlusa? It's talking about spice. I guess spice in general, we're assuming all spices must be, we assume all spices, just like pepper is inedible, this himlusa must be inedible as well. So why would you say bracha on it if it's inedible? Lokasha habi tivasa habi bibi bishta. Same thing. One we're talking about where it's moist, where it's edible. One's a case where it's dry and inedible. And Mara says, we'll go a few more lines, I guess. Tanu Rabbanan, achal ale kanim pater. If you eat the leaves of the reeds, your pater. Lulave gifanim chayev. If you eat the, what's the difference between ale and lulave? One the leaves, one the branches.
Ayerek hatomeach beroshe hagefen. Lefi shehu mitkashe la'etz.
Okay, so I guess the leaves are inedible, and the lulavei gefanim are like flowers that grow on the grape leaves. Okay, so those are edible. So again, you eat something that's inedible, like ale gefanim, kanim rather, your pater. If you eat lulavei gefanim, your chayv. Elohein lulavei gefanim. The following are the lulavei gefanim. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak migadla kol she liv luvei mirashana vayom kippurim. Anything that what blossoms from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? That's considered.
Meaning that if they grew before Rosh Hashanah, they're already by the time Yom Kippur comes, it's too hard.
Uh huh. Okay, so this shear, eventually turn hard, but if they're still soft, then they're considered edible, and if you eat them on Yom Kippur, you're chayev. Rav Kahana Amar Kol Shloshim Yom, 30 days, the whole...
Lifim HaKippurim Chayevim Al Achilat V'Yom HaKippurim Ki Adayin Reuim Hem LeAchila. Meaning, even if they were 30 days before Yom Kippur...
Still, it's considered edible.
Yeah, it's still
us. Tanik of Asad Yerub Yitzchak, there's a brayso that supports the opinion of Yitzchak, Migala Achal Alei Kanim Pater, okay, maybe we'll stop here then.
So what he's saying, that even if you eat those trees 30 days